Good to be back after a couple of years. I bring greetings from the assemblies of our area. Lorraine Yal, where I am from, also Montreal, where I was last weekend. And there was a family who had been in the meeting in Connecticut, and they asked especially to give greetings, Samia and Fadi Tumaki. Let's turn to Hebrews 2. I want to make the connection with Psalm 8, as we see in the outline. Psalm 8 is quoted three times in the New Testament. Here in Hebrews 2, the verses that are on the outline, Hebrews 2 verse 8, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." It's a wonderful passage. And the way Psalm 8 is quoted here is to bring glory to the Lord Jesus. But it is for the eye of faith. It says here in the end of verse 8, "But now we see not yet all things put under him." But faith recognizes that all things have been put under him. What did the Lord Jesus say after he was risen from the dead? In Matthew 28, you can see that he says, "All power, all authority have been given to me." That's the risen man. All authority given to him. And faith acknowledges that. But what we also see in Hebrews 2, and that is not seen in Psalm 8, but here in Hebrews 2, it's explained, it is on the basis of his sufferings that he has this place of honor and authority. It's connected with his sufferings and his death. And now we see him as believers, we see him crowned with glory and honor. Because as believers, as we see in Hebrews 10, we have free access. We see him there, a man in the glory. But never forget that this glory, this power and authority that he has is intimately linked with his sufferings and his death. The two can never be separated. The glory he has now is based or is the result of his sufferings and his death, in which he glorified God. Now, the second time this psalm is quoted is already read by Leonard earlier in 1 Corinthians 15. I just want to highlight that. In 1 Corinthians 15, we have seen an exception. And when you read the passage, you will say, "Oh, of course, that is understandable." Hebrews, 1 Corinthians 15. We read from verse 23, but I'll just read verse 28. "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." So when the psalm says all things have been made subject to him, when Hebrews 2 quotes that and says that, and we see it through faith as a fact, but we don't see it all around yet. Everything will be made subject to him, and in principle is subject to him. But there is one exception, and it is here. The one who made subject everything to him, that one, God, is not subject to him. God cannot be subject to man. The Lord Jesus has received a place of honor and glory and authority. There is a man to whom God has given that wonderful authority and power. But God himself cannot be made subject to that man. That is now the point. And that makes sense. We understand that. God is the source of all authority. And God has delegated all the authority to a man. The first man to whom God delegated all authority was Adam, and he failed. And as we have heard earlier, Satan usurped this. But Satan is going to give it back. Philippians 2, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow for him, the Lord Jesus. So that is God's thought. But the point you understand is the only exception here is God himself is not made subject to Christ. And that we understand. But there is one more exception. Ephesians 1. And I'll just mention that now and then we'll come back to that later when we read that passage in more detail. In Ephesians 1, the verse on the outline is 22, but I'll read from verse 19. Or Paul is praying in this prayer that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that is God in relation to the man Christ Jesus, God, the triune God, is called the Father of glory in verse 17. The prayer is, by Paul, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes, verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches and the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Which he wrought in Christ, which he raised from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And now verse 22, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. So here we have the other exception. The other exception is the church. We'll see later the church is marked by submission. But here we see what God had in mind, to give Christ, the one under his feet he has brought everything, and that will be seen in the world to come, a head over all things. But then this wonderful person who had that glory, that greatness, that authority, God has given now to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And the power that was displayed, that is the context here, the power with which God has acted to give Christ that place, he wrought, in verse 20, he raised him from the dead, he set him at his own right hand, far above. That is God's power. There are four different words used in the Greek to emphasize that. The tremendous power that God displayed by giving this place to a man, raising him from among the dead, and then giving him such a high place. That is God's power. But what we also see here, that in God's counsel, there was the thought that this great king would have a queen, a wife, and that is the church. And she is not, in this context, put under his feet. In this context, this great ruler, is given to the church. So that is to see how God honors the church according to his counsel, what he has in mind for the church, to give this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus, as a glorified man, to the church. So I'll stop here now just to summarize those three points from Psalm 8. Psalm 8, quoted in Hebrews 2, shows that he has all authority. It's based on his sufferings and death. Then we have seen that God himself is exempt. He cannot be made subject to a man. Thirdly, we have seen that Christ is given to the church. And now I want to ask your attention to 1 Corinthians 11. I first want to go to 1 Corinthians 11 and then close our studies with Ephesians and Colossians.